Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Rapid City Mayor Tim Allender has declared this Native American Day the Day of Grandmothers in Rapid City. Among other commemorations, a memorial walk for the children of the Rapid City Indian Boarding School to remember their lives and deaths is planned. Meanwhile, in Sioux Falls, the city is hosting its first Native American Day parade featuring Grand Marshal Tim Gallego. The theme in Sioux Falls is honoring our elders. The parade is Monday, October 8th, 10 a.m. Central in downtown Sioux Falls on the regular parade route. Now, in 1990, Tim Gallego convinced then-Governor George S. Mickelson to make Native American Day a state holiday, and he's joining us now from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in SDPB's Rapid City studio. Tim Gallego, welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Lori.
Tell
been
us.
A while.
It has been a while. You need to come back way more often. The door is always open for you. The microphone's always on for Tim Gallego. The significance of the Sioux Falls parade, the fact that this is the first ever Native American Day in the city parade in the city of Sioux Falls. What do you think the significance of that decision is?
Well, you know, Rapid City is always trying to keep up with Sioux Falls, and this is one thing that we have on Sioux Falls. We're going into our fourth year of our annual parade here in Rapid City, and there's a lot of people that got together here and to start it, and I'm glad the people in Sioux Falls finally decided to pick up on it. One of my writers, Richie Richards, was in Sioux Falls, and he talked to a lot of people there, including a lot of members of the city council, and convinced them that, hey, Rapid City's beating you out. You better get something going here. So that's how that got started.
I misspoke earlier, and it's Mayor Steve Allender, of course, in Rapid City. And I'm wondering the significance of remembering the children at the boarding school and just this day in general. Take us back to some of those early conversations in 1990 and the conversations you had with then-Governor Mickelson.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people don't know that it was actually the 100th anniversary of the massacre at Wounded Knee that really prompted me to visit with Governor Mickelson. He was looking for some way to maybe improve race relations in the state. And I had interviewed him a few months earlier, and the question I asked him, what is your toughest job as governor? And he said, I'm going to tell you the same thing that my father told me 40 years ago when he was a governor. He said, race relations between Indians and whites. And he said, and I don't want to be here 40 years more and still have the same problem. He says, we should start doing something now. And I told him, well, you know, we're coming up on the 100th anniversary of the massacre at Wounded Knee, and it's a very tragic and sad time to all the people in Pine Ridge and Cheyenne River. And perhaps we can do something to commemorate that. And so we start talking about, let's do a year of reconciliation. And the governor had the authority to make a proclamation, so he did proclaim 1990 the year of reconciliation. And in the same breath, we talked about, let's do something about having a Native American Day in lieu of Columbus Day. And so that went through. That had to be voted on by the state legislators. And it passed in 1990 also. So we had the year reconciliation and Native American Day come around the same time. And I really need to thank some of those people that were on the state legislators back then. We were going through a really hard time. The state of South Dakota was one of three states that did not recognize Martin Luther King's birthday as a holiday. It was Arizona, New Hampshire, and South Dakota. So that was one of the things the state legislators talked about back in 1990. And there was a young African-American man named Lynn Hart who addressed the state legislators about proclaiming Martin Luther King's birthday a state holiday in South Dakota. So at the same time that Native American Day and Year of Reconciliation went through, so did the state approving a state holiday for Martin Luther King Jr.
Huh. What would be, you know, we're looking at a governor's race and a new governor, which seems like that could be another opportunity with a new voice in Pierre. What would be another way to, you know, similar to the Year of Reconciliation, another step forward if you were to have a, new governor calls you up and says, Tim, let's do something else. What should it be?
Well, you know, something I've been working on for about 3 years, and it always bothered me that last Saturday, they had the annual Buffalo Roundup at Custer. I've always wondered why Lakota warriors weren't allowed to ride in that Buffalo Roundup. And I thought of the pageantry and what a spectacular thing it would be to have Lakota warriors in their full regalia. They actually had songs when they prepared to go out on a buffalo hunt. This wouldn't be a hunt, of course, but they could follow the same steps they took 100 years ago, 200 years ago, do their buffalo hunting songs and ride out with the cowboys that are out there to herd the buffalo. And I thought that would be such a spectacular sight. There'd be tourists from all over the world that do come out to South Dakota to see Native Americans and participate in some of our ceremonies and powwows. I think they would be absolutely enthralled to see such a spectacle as Native Americans riding in that Buffalo Roundup. And I've written to Governor Dugard, and I've sent him columns that I've written about. And we kind of have never connected on it. One of the things I think it's kind of kept quiet is Governor himself and other people say that there used to be 60 million buffalo, and all of a sudden they disappeared without going into the reasons why. You know, they didn't all get the flu and die. It was they were killed to eliminate a food source and source of survival to the Lakota people, and they were killed by the millions. And so that, I think, is something that should be recognized in this Buffalo Roundup also.
In a time when America is so deeply divided on so many different issues, it can feel almost hopeless that we could, come together on issues of racism to sort of eradicate racism or take steps forward in reconciliation. Do you still have urgency or optimism or hope, or I don't know what the right word would be, to say that even in these divided times, or more than ever in these divided times, conversations about racism and our history need to be put forward in a way that gets people talking, gets people thinking, and gets people acting?
Well, you know, if you go back to 28 years ago, the Year of Reconciliation, race relations were pretty bad. And they started probably in the 70s when Don Barnett was mayor of Rapid City. And there was a point there in 1972 when Rapid City could have been a disaster. It could have been an explosive situation here with race. The mayor brought everybody together that he could, law enforcement, the ministers, and members of the Native American, American Indian movement. And they sat down and worked through it all as human beings, and so there was nothing happened that would have been real volatile in Rapid City back then. And then we've progressed quite a lot since then, and you know, I've seen a lot of changes, especially in Rapid City, where it used to be pretty bad for Native Americans moving here from the reservation to try the simple things like finding a place to stay, or even being told they couldn't be served in some restaurants. I mean, that's how bad it was. But with the new groups coming along, the Community Conversations Group and others that are bringing people together, that's happening on a weekly basis here now. And for the first time, people are sitting down and really communicating. And as part of the Year of Reconciliation, one of the things we really wanted to do, Governor Mickelson and I, was to travel to communities like Winter and Sisseton and Wagner, communities that were bordering Indian reservations, and hold a big town hall meeting at every one of these communities and bring Native Americans and the citizens of those communities together and break bread together and sit down and talk about our commonalities and our differences and see what we could do to improve our relations right there in the local communities. That was part of the overall plan. And then Governor Mickelson got killed in a plane crash, of course, and all of that was sort of pushed aside.
Do you think those kind of conversations would work today?
Absolutely. I think people on both sides, the non-Indians and the Indians, are open to discussion and open to talking, so many things. It opens doors for people to find jobs, better housing, and all the things it takes to live a good life.
Mm. Tell me about any of the details of the parade that you might have. We've got the time and the location. What should people expect? What's your role as Grand Marshal?
Well, it's all brand new in Sioux Falls because it's the first time. And I think Richie Richards has been running like crazy. And one of the last obstacles he ran into was trying to get somebody to insure the parade. And we're lucky here in Rapid City, the organization. Rural American Initiatives had the nonprofit status, so they provide the insurance for the parade here. But it started small in Rapid City, and last year they probably had 100 floats. Hmm. And it's so good to see all of the children out here, Indian children and non-Indian children, catching candy that are being thrown for all the floats, to see the young Native Americans riding on the floats with such pride. So it's really, and a lot of the Rapid City merchants have got behind it, and that's what we're trying to hope Sioux Falls comes around to doing that. A lot of the businesses and regional hospital and banks and Rapid City Police and Sheriff's Department, they all have floats in the parades. And so it's really a spectacular day, and hopefully we're going to have some good weather.
Right. And how about the Sioux Falls leadership, Mayor Paul Ten Hanken and some of those other business leaders? Do we have a sense of their support yet?
I think they're all going to get on the wagon with us, and I think they're going to try to make this first Native American Day parade something that would be a continuous thing. And I think the people in Sioux Falls are getting excited about it.
Yeah, you can definitely hear that in the wind. And then I would also say that on social media and Facebook, every Native American Day, there's somebody that you'll see who's not from South Dakota who will sort of make a comment about Columbus Day versus Native American Day. And there's always just a pile of South Dakotans who, jump on those posts and take the opportunity to explain why we have a Native American Day. And, I on all sides of the aisle. And I always find that interesting to just see how willing we are.
Odd, Lori, that here we are 28 years past the first Native American Day, and you still see businesses in cities, Rapid City, that have signs up closed for Columbus Day.
Oh, really?
So we haven't reached that point yet where I think the citizens have accepted that it's Native American Day rather than Columbus Day.
See, I've seen the opposite on social media, but I guess I got to open my eyes a little wider and look around, perhaps.
Well, we've got to get some of the businesses, and I think so many of the businesses are owned by corporations that are not within South Dakota, so they don't really understand the demographics here or the fact that Native American Day is an important day to the people of the state. And, South Dakota should be very proud of this day because out of the 50 states, we are the only state that has a state holiday, strictly Native American Day.
Tell me a little bit, we just have a minute or so left, about the theme of honoring our elders. And, just talk to listeners about what to contemplate as we talk about honoring our elders. What does that mean? What should we be thinking about around that theme?
Generationally and historically, the elders have always been the most admired of tribal members. They were the people with the wisdom and the life's experiences that taught the younger people how to live a good life and how to survive in the hard times. And I think of late, a lot of the elders don't get the appreciation that I think they should be getting. And to have a day to honor them also, I think, is just a plus to what's going on.